Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
We will be in Luke chapter 2, and the title of the message tonight is The Birth of Jesus Christ. This is part of our Wednesday night prophecy series. But the birth of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2, and starting in verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 7. And we'll go ahead and read those verses, and then we'll pray and begin. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." So the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. I do pray you'd forgive me for my sins. I pray now that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to preach your word in power, and I do pray for decisions we have to make, and I do pray that you would work in all these situations, and I pray that you would just bless the preaching of your word tonight. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Now, Caesar Augustus was the successor to Julius Caesar and reigned from January 16th, 27 BC to August 19th, 14 AD. So that would have been fitting right in there for Jesus' birth. And this decree came from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, before we get into that, I want to show you in the next chapter of Luke, in verse 1, the Word of God says, Luke 3:1, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar," the part we want to pay attention to is at the first of that verse. Now, Tiberius was the Roman emperor from 14 AD to 37 AD. Now, you'll notice that Caesar Augustus, reigned until 14 AD, and then Tiberius started in 14 AD and reigned to 37 AD. So the 15th year of Tiberius's reign, if you add up the math, was 29 AD. Now, the passage that we read in Luke chapter 3, if we had read on down the passage, that talks about John the Baptist baptizing, and Jesus got baptized in that same year, which was 29 AD. And the Bible says in Luke 3:23 that Jesus was about 30 years old at that time in 29 AD. Now, if you'll remember the message that we preached last week on Daniel's 70 weeks, we talked about Sir Robert Anderson's dating system, and according to his dates, based on the 69th week of Daniel's prophecy, he set the year of Jesus' crucifixion in 32 AD in the month of April. So, based on Jesus being about 30 years old in 29 AD, and being baptized then, and then being crucified in 32 AD, that would have made Jesus about 33 and a half years old at the time of his crucifixion. And so the math works out. So the reason I'm bringing that up is because the Bible in Luke especially, he mentions these Caesars, and the dates when these Caesars reigned are fixed dates. And there's a reason why the Bible gives the dates. It doesn't give specific dates, but why it'll say this happened during the such and such year of this Caesar's reign, and this happened during the reign of this Caesar. Because they're trying to historically, God is giving us a historical perspective to read the Bible in to understand the times when these things happen. And so we can see the times. Again, this is based on the Julian calendar, which is the dating system they were using at the time of Jesus' birth, put in place by Julius Caesar. But at any rate, we have Jesus being baptized in 29 A.D., being crucified in 32 A.D., and we have his birth happening when Augustus Caesar made this decree. Now, Luke 2:2 says that this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. John Gill says, this Cyrenius is the same whom the Romans call Quirinius. And Quirinius, a governor of Syria, had a great power in Judea, to which it was annexed when Cyrenius was governor there. So most of your modern Bible translations will say Quirinius, but that's what the Romans called him. But the King James says Cyrenius. At any rate, it's the same man, and he was the governor in Syria. And again, this is just a historical figure that kind of fixes the time period when this taxing took place. And the Bible says in verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Now, it was customary in this Roman taxing, and this taxing was not, we think it's like an income tax, but this taxing was a census. And they were taking this census in order to determine who should serve in the military and also to determine who should be paying taxes. So it was both of those things, but the actual taxing just means a census. So all went to be taxed, and what they would do is return to the city of their ancestry. And this is prophetic. This fulfills prophecy. The Bible says in Luke 2:4, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now this fulfills a prophecy. Now, little did Caesar Augustus know that when he made this decree that all the world should be taxed, that that was actually God having him make the decree. The Bible says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. And so God was having Caesar make this decree because this decree for taxation caused Joseph and Mary to leave Nazareth and to go to Bethlehem in fulfillment of prophecy. For it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And that was prophesied by Micah. And Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Now, I want to say one thing about God. This is probably a rabbit trail, but I'll fit it in some way. But I want to say one thing about God turning the hearts of kings, because we've just seen today part of, this is not a direct prophecy fulfilled today, but it is going to help to accomplish prophecies that have been made. For when the Antichrist comes, the Jews are going to have their capital as Jerusalem, and they will build a temple. And God moved on the heart of the United States president to recognize Jerusalem officially as the capital. And that is part of it will be part of a prophetic plan and something that will happen in the future. So these are exciting times. And the Bible says, very interesting in Micah 5:2, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah." This is a specific city. It's very specific because there were two Bethlehems. And Bethlehem Ephratah is the exact place where Jesus was born. So two Bethlehems, but the prophet was very specific. Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. Remember when it was discovered that Jesus was from Nazareth, I believe it was one of his disciples, I don't remember which one, but before they actually became a disciple, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth didn't have a good reputation. But Bethlehem, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. If this taxing had not taken place, if God had not moved the heart of Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, the pagan Roman emperor, to have this taxing, then Jesus Christ would have been born in Nazareth. And that would not have fulfilled prophecy. So he had to be born in Bethlehem, and God used a pagan emperor to see that accomplished. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forths have been from old, from everlasting." Now Luke 2:4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Now this also is an important fulfillment of prophecy. You may remember in our studies here in the past that there is a Davidic covenant, a covenant that God made with David. And that covenant was made during the Old Testament times, but it really will have its fulfillment in the end times. Actually, when Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom on earth. But this is very important that Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verses 12 through 16 says this, God is speaking to David, and he says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee." That was Solomon, "which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name," which Solomon did. He built the temple. "And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now we know that Solomon's kingdom indeed was not established forever. After Solomon's death, the kingdom was divided. And so this has to be a future fulfillment. God goes on to say, "I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before me." So God says, I'm not going to take Solomon off the throne like I did Saul. I'm not going to take my mercy away from Saul, from Solomon like I did Saul. Though Solomon committed quite a few sins in his later life. His first mistake was marrying all those women. He had 1,000 wives and concubines. That's too many. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne, God is speaking to David, thy throne shall be established forever. Now, David's throne was not forever on earth at that time, you know, in the years after his reign, after Solomon. But David's throne will be established forever through his descendant. Who is that descendant? Jeremiah 33:17, "For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel." There it is again. David shall never lack a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. And yet he does right now, but he will not. Gabriel's prophecy to Mary in Luke 1:32, listen to what is said. This is about Jesus Christ. "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Whose descendant was Jesus Christ? He was David's descendant. God will give to Jesus Christ the throne of his father David, thus fulfilling that prophecy that there would always be a man to sit on David's throne. And Jesus Christ fulfills that. Isaiah 9:6-7, this prophecy that's often read at Christmas. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." By the way, how can you take that prophecy, those that deny that Jesus Christ is God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and some other of our friends, how can you take that prophecy there and deny that he's God? For look what it says. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Jesus Christ is God. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David." See it? There it is again in this famous Christmas prophecy. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So, the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had to be descended from David, it had to be. He had to be in order to fulfill this prophecy, because these prophecies given to David that he would always have a man to sit on his throne were very important. This covenant that God made with David, the Davidic covenant, and it will be fulfilled at the end of time. Now, it's interesting to note and important to note that Joseph was Jesus' legal father under the Jewish law. We know that Joseph was not Jesus' father. God's his father. But Joseph is legally Jesus' father under the Jewish law, and Joseph was a descendant of David. And the Bible says that Joseph went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Mary was betrothed to Joseph at this time. We don't really have betrothal today. The betrothal period was so much like marriage that the only way you could get out of it was with a divorce. But Joseph went with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Of course, it was not Joseph's child, but the Lord was, Mary conceived by the Holy Ghost, and she was a virgin when she had Jesus. Now, Mary, Jesus' mother, was also a descendant of David. That's important. Joseph, legally, Jesus' legal father under the Jewish law, was a descendant of David. Mary, Jesus' physical mother, was a descendant of David. Jesus Christ was both legally and physically a son of David, thus fulfilling prophecy. Now, you can see this in the gospel that everybody knew that Jesus was the son of David. For instance, Matthew 1:1, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Matthew 9:27, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us." Matthew 20:30, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." The Jews recognized that Jesus Christ would have to be the Son of David, that the Messiah would have to be the Son of David. But they expected Jesus to do what? What did they expect him to do? To set up an earthly kingdom. They expected him as the Son of David to sit on David's throne and to establish an earthly kingdom, overthrow the Romans. That's what they meant when Jesus walked into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and all the Jews were saying, "Hosanna," that means save us now. They wanted him to save them from the Romans. And then a few days later, either on Thursday or Friday of that week, they ended up crucifying him. The crowd can turn on you real quick. I'm glad y'all are nice to me, but you could turn on me just like that and shoot me or something while I'm up here. I hope you don't. But at any rate, that's a little joke. I hope nobody has a gun today. Let's see here. Mark 10:47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Everybody knew he was the Son of David. Now look at this interesting exchange in Mark 12:35-37 that Jesus has. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David?" How is it that the scribes say that Christ is the Son of David? "For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.' David therefore himself calls him Lord. And whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. So Jesus is putting a little riddle to them. He says, how is it that, because everybody's been saying, "You're the Son of David, you're the Son of David," and the scribes said, "We've examined the scripture, and when the Messiah comes, he'll be the Son of David." And so Jesus says, how is it that the scribes say that the Messiah, the Christ, is going to be the Son of David? And then he quotes David in the Old Testament. And the Bible says, "The Lord said to my Lord." David calls Christ his Lord. And so Jesus says, if David calls the Messiah his Lord, which is a superior, then how can he be his son, which would be an inferior? And the common people heard him gladly, and of course the scribes and Pharisees and all those people, they were confused, and they ended up crucifying him. Now, the answer to this question that Jesus asked is very simple. And we can find it in John 1:1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos," that is Christ, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So in the beginning of time, the Word already was. Jesus Christ already existed in the beginning of time. In other words, when time was created, Jesus already was. He never had a beginning. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, who created God? People ask that all the time. And I said, nobody. God always has been. Well, that's impossible. But it is impossible if you try and think about it to grasp. But God has always been. He's eternal. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And because Jesus has already always existed, then he's David's Lord. He's David's superior. But John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." There came a day, see, in the beginning, the Word already was. He'd always existed. But there came a day and time when the Word was made flesh. And when he was made flesh, he was born of the Virgin Mary, and she was a descendant of David, and legally Joseph's father under Jewish law. Again, God was his father, but his legal father under Jewish law, he was a descendant of David. And so when the Word was made flesh, he was made a descendant of David, physically and legally, when he was born. So think about it this way. Because Jesus Christ was made flesh, he's David's son or descendant. And so this is the answer to the kind of riddle that Jesus gave to these Jews of, if David called the Messiah Lord, how is he his son? He's David's Lord because he's the eternal God. He's David's son or descendant because he was born. He was made flesh. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate the day that the eternal God was made flesh and was born into this world. Now, if we continue on in the story, Luke 2:6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Again, I take you to verse 6 before we close and we pray and then we answer questions, but I take you to verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Understand that if Jesus Christ, if this decree from Caesar had gone out a little bit later, Jesus would not have been born in Bethlehem. It had to be at the exact time. It had to be at the exact time when Mary was getting ready to have the baby, because she had to have the baby in Bethlehem, Ephrata, just as Micah said that she would. And the God who fulfills prophecy is watching over His church today. And the God who took care of all these things can take care of us. Can He not? Or do you figure He just took care of all this stuff and then He put Jesus in the world and Jesus died for us and He saved us and He's preserving His saints and all of those kind of things? And do you think that He then just leaves it alone and leaves it up to us? So we serve the God of prophecy. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take some questions if anybody wants to ask some questions. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this study of the prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. We thank You that the Lord was born just when You said He would be, that You moved a Caesar, a Roman emperor, to make this happen, to have Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem Ephrata so that the prophecy of Micah could be fulfilled. I thank You that that these prophecies were fulfilled, that Joseph and Mary were descendants of David, and that Jesus, the Word, the eternal Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that He is a son of David, fulfilling the prophecies that the Messiah would descend from David and sit on His throne. We praise Your name for that. We ask that You bless us now and help us this week to serve You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.